Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Dickerson, we're sure glad you're here tonight. Hey, we've been praying for you. We really miss you when you're not here. Thank you for being here. And to our guests tonight, thank you for coming. Pray that you'll be blessed in this service. Amen. Praise God. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Amen. I want to preach tonight about preaching bones. Preaching bones. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Bones may not be beautiful, but they provide structure, substance, form, and stability. Can you imagine what a body would look like without bones? It'd just be a blob. It wouldn't have any mobility. You may not think much about your bones, but they're what make you what you are. Your beauty tonight is because of the bones in your face. Your face would just be a blob without some bones in it. Amen. Have you ever broken a bone? It changes things. Bones are vital and they're really important. Amen. Bones are what's left when everything else is gone. You know, your hair. Somebody said, I have wavy hair. One's been waving goodbye to the other one, and they're nearly all gone. So your hair can say goodbye. Amen. And your flesh can say goodbye. But the last thing to remain are the bones. Amen. And there's preaching in bones. It was Jeremiah, the great prophet. And he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached and nobody repented and nobody seemed to hear and nobody wanted to change. And he finally said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm just going to shut my mouth and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to forget it. But he couldn't. He said, because it's like a fire set up in my bones. Amen. I cannot help myself. I got to keep on preaching. I got to tell somebody the good news. Amen. So there's something about preaching that gets down in the bones. Amen. The bones preach promise. Joseph's bones especially. They preached a promise. And they preached a long time. Amen. Abraham made a promise. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. And be said unto Abram, that is the Lord, know of a surety, everybody say of a surety. That means God said it's going to happen. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. They shall come out with great abundance. if God lets you go into trouble, you're going to come out with abundance. If God lets you go into suffering, you're going to come out with abundance. You go in trouble, but you come out with more than you had when you entered in. Amen. God always has a purpose in our suffering. Don't waste it. Amen. And so Abraham made a promise. He said, you're going to be, and this is a long time before it happened. But he said, your seed will be in a stranger in a strange land. They'll be in slavery for 400 years. It's a long time. And Genesis 48, Jacob made a prophecy and a promise. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So there was a promise that was given. There was a promise that was given. You perhaps remember the story. Abraham sojourned in the promised land. And his son Isaac sojourned in the promised land. And they were buried in the promised land. And then came Jacob, whose name was changed later to Israel. And he and his sons increased in the promised land. And till Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren that so hated him. Brother Neil? Seems like I heard that lately. Amen. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And they sold him into slavery. The favored son of Jacob was sold into slavery. But God had a plan. Hallelujah. I said God had a plan. Now I'm telling you what, God, when God puts a plan together, it's a doozy. He took this smart, intelligent, handsome young man, and he put him in Potiphar's house. Amen. And he taught him how to be a servant there. He went from being the pampered son to being a servant, a slave in a man's house. But God put an attitude and God put a spirit that was in Joseph that was indomitable, and he rose to the top like cream. And he said, I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be the best servant he's ever had. Amen. And God was with Joseph, and God smiled on him. And then, of course, you remember the story, perhaps, that Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph day after day after day after day after day after day. And he kept saying no and no and no. Until finally, she grabbed his garment. He left it behind, his outer garment. And she accused him of trying to rape her. And then Joseph was put into a prison for no fault. All he did was right. He was really suffering for doing it. Put in a prison cell. I mean a deep prison cell. Amen. And I love the verse. It said, but God was with Joseph in the prison. Wherever you go, he'll go with you. Amen. He'll go with you. What was it the psalmist said? He said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. He said, if I make my bed in the stars, he said, he's up there. If I'm high or if I'm low, he's with me. Hallelujah. Wherever I go, he's with me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so God was with Joseph in his sufferings. Amen. But I love the way God promotes people. Now, I've met folks that were always promoting themselves. You ever met anybody like that? They thought it was a verse. It was not a verse in the Bible. But they thought it was, he that tooteth not his own horn, it shall not be tooted. So they're always tooting their own horn. Amen. They're always singing their own praises. They're always promoting themselves. Amen. But if you'll just let God promote you, you don't have to worry about promotion. Amen. When God got ready to promote, I'm telling you, friend, it was an exciting promotion. It was get in, sit down, buckle up, shut up, and hang on. Because he went from prison cell to the Pharaoh's chariot and Pharaoh's palace in one afternoon. How do you do that? The only way you can do that is if God decides to promote you. And God's not going to promote you unless he sees something in you worth promoting. And the only thing worth promoting is what he puts in us. And so he saw some good there and he said, all right. And he put him on the throne. And you remember how there was 7 years of famine or 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine, the Bible said. And so in the 7 years of good, he was busy. He was putting away the good stuff. And when 7 years of famine came, he was over all that. And this is how he reconnected with his family. When his brethren came, and they were seeking grain. And there was no grain to be had in Israel. And his family was on the edge of starvation. And they sent and they came. And here he is. And he recognizes his brethren. Now they didn't recognize him. But when people throw you down in a hole and leave you there for dead, and then yank you out and sell you for a few pieces of silver, you kind of remember what they looked like. Now, they didn't recognize Joseph because he was looking pretty good by now. They didn't recognize this young prince that was in their presence. Last time they saw him, he was just the little brother. Now he's sitting on a throne. He's riding in the king's chariot. He's got the king's signia. He has the king's authority. And he wore it well. And the Bible said that they came and he, through Joseph, God was able to preserve the house of Israel. He brought them from the land of starvation to the land of plenty. I've always thought it's amazing how it all worked. The most beautiful, fruitful, lush and pleasant place in all of Egypt is a place called Goshen. And that's what God gave to Israel. He gave them the best place. You know why? Because they were shepherds. And the Egyptians didn't like shepherds and they didn't like stinky sheep. So they said, well, if you're going to live here in Egypt, you've got to go down to Goshen. Why, how terrible. Sounds like Burr Rabbit in the briar patch, huh? Amen. Well, that'd be a terrible place to have to live, but I'll go. The most well-watered place, the greenest place, the most watered place, the most pleasant place. Yeah, I think I can handle it. Send me on down there with a stinky sheep. Amen. And so God preserved Israel. Now, they were 70 souls when they went into Egypt. If I say 70 souls. That's all. 70 people. That's not a whole lot of people, is it? 70 people. That's what went into Israel, or went into Egypt. And when this all began, and then the Bible says that Joseph lived to be 110 years old. Now that sounds really old to us. Bible times, it wasn't all that old. Amen. Moses lived to be 120. Abraham lived to be 175. Of course, Methuselah was 969. So 110 was a good lifespan. Lived to be 110 years old. And then the Bible says he died. And he was embalmed according to the tradition of the Egyptians. And he was buried. But before he was buried, he told Israel. He said, now listen. He said, I want you, When you're going to be leaving here. He said, God, listen closely. God will of a surety deliver you out of Egypt. He said, and when you leave here, take my bones. Hallelujah. I don't mind living in Egypt. I don't mind dying in Egypt. But don't you leave me in Egypt. When it's time for the celebration, I want to be there. When it's time to leave, I want to go. When it's time to go to the promised land, take my bones with you. Amen. And so, for 400 years, every time somebody walked by where Joseph was buried, the bones said, Hey, we're getting ready to leave here one day and take my bones with you. No matter how hard it got, no matter how difficult the task, if somebody would just go down to Joseph's tomb, the bones would say, hey, we're getting out of here one of these days, and when you get ready, take my bones with you. Amen. The bones were preaching. They preached promise. They preached deliverance. They said, God has not forgotten us. God's going to keep His word. God's going to deliver us out of this. Don't you forget to take my bones with you. Amen. Joseph's bones not only preached promise, but they preached the word of the Lord. They preached the word of the Lord. Amen. Moses is accredited with writing the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Now, we know how he wrote Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers because he was there when all that happened. But how did he write Genesis? Genesis all happened before he was even born. So how did he know what happened in the book of Genesis? Well, one way he knew was he talked to God face to face. That's pretty good. Wouldn't you love to be talking to the Lord and he'd say, Moses, let me tell you how this all came to be. Well, how did it happen, Lord? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what they taught Moses when he went to school? It hadn't changed much. When Moses went to school, the Egyptians said, well, they said the earth hatched out of a big egg. And they said, you know, the Nile River, there was these little maggot-looking wormy things. They crawled out and they became a man. Now that's what they taught Moses. But when he got ready to tell creation story, he didn't say anything about eggs. He didn't say anything about worms. Amen. He just told the story just like God told him. These people that say which came first, the chicken or the egg, that's a silly argument. The Bible doesn't say God made the eggs. He said he made birds. Birds made eggs. God made birds. And so that when he got ready to tell the story, the Lord told him some things. Amen. But there's another interesting idea. When somebody in Egyptian royalty passed away, they buried them in a royal manner. You've seen the pyramids over in Egypt. That's where the wealthy were buried. Pyramids. And so when Joseph died, he was royalty. And so he was embalmed and he was buried with much pomp and circumstance. And what they would do is on the lid or the lid of the coffin or the covering of the coffin, they would write a man's history and his father's history. and the great stories of his life and the great things that happened in his life. And they would write that on the coffin, on the lid of the coffin. And I just wonder if maybe part of the story came from the lid on the coffin of Joseph. Amen. As he told the story of his father and his father's father. And the story of Abraham and the story of Isaac and the story of Jacob. Amen. And the story was all written down and it was recorded. And the story of his God, very possibly and very likely, some of the book of Genesis came from the writing on Joseph's coffin. So you see, his bones were preaching. His bones were preaching. Amen. I don't know how it started. It may have started in the beginning. I'm hung up on that, aren't I? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The reason I'm hung up on that is because if you don't believe that, then you're probably not going to believe the rest of it either. But if you can get that in your head and in your heart, and you can latch on to it, and you can believe that with every fiber of your being, you'll believe everything else that's in the Scriptures. Amen. That's why people want to destroy that. That's why they try so very hard to discredit that. Is because if they destroy that in your thinking, then it's not so hard to move you on everything else. But if you get that in your heart, amen. Brother Grissom, that requires a lot of faith. Not near as much faith as the rest of it does. Amen. And I promise I'm not going to preach about evolution. I'm not. Amen. Somebody pull my coattail if I start, because I'm not. Amen. But it's important that we get the basic. And there's power in preaching bones. Amen. You remember there was a great man by the name of Elijah. And there, his father was Elisha. And Elijah did some great miracles in his life. And when he got ready to go, Elisha said, I want to go with you. And he said, I want a double portion of your power. He said, you can have it if you're with me when I go. So he followed him. He followed him. And perhaps you remember the story how God sent a whirlwind. And it picked Elijah up and lifted him up and into a chariot of fire and horses. Amen. Of fire. Man, that must have been quite a sight to see. And there was Elisha looking up, watching as his mentor went into the heavens riding on a fiery chariot. That was an exciting thing to see. Amen. All of a sudden, he saw that old mantle as it come floating down. Amen. And after he dried his tears, he went over and he picked up that mantle. And he walked over to the river. And he took that mantle and he smote the waters real hard. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And all of a sudden when it hit the waters, they split open. And God said, here I am. Now, the life and the ministry of Elisha, he did almost twice as many miracles, major miracles, as Elijah did. But he died just one short of double the miracles that happened in the ministry of Elijah. Just one. Amen. God wasn't through. The Bible said that sometime later, after he was dead and he was gone and buried, that the soldiers were fighting and they were in a battle, and there was a man that died, and they were in such a hurry they didn't have time to bury him, so they just threw him in the grave where Elisha was. And when the bones of that man touched the dead bones of the prophet, the Bible said that life and strength came back in the soldier, and he rose up, he was resurrected, because there was power in the bones of that old prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. And so God said, all right, Elisha, there's the 14th miracle right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Mission accomplished. Hallelujah. Amen. So bones preach the word of the Lord. Amen. Bones preach. bones can preach. Some bones can preach. Amen. The Bible talks about the prophet, and the Lord sent him down, and he saw a valley of what? Bones. Just a valley full of, and behold, they were very dry. Everybody say dry bones. Yeah, not just bones, they were dry. All the life had been sucked out of them. And the Lord said to the prophet, he said, can these bones live? And when you talk to God, you've got to be careful what you say. And the prophet was very smart. He said, thou knowest, Lord. Amen. You know the answer to that one without my input. Amen. And so the Lord said, he said, I want you to, he said, you prophesy to the bones. And so he started preaching to a bunch of bones. A few times in my life I feel like I've been there. Amen. And they were very dry. But he started preaching to the bones. Preaching to something that was dead. Preaching to something that had no life. But the Bible said there was a stirring that went on as he began to preach the word of the Lord. And bones started getting connected. Amen. And a foot bone connected to an ankle bone and to a knee bone, to a thigh bone, to a hip bone. Amen. And all of a sudden some ribs got onto a body and a head crept on top of a vertebrae. Amen. And there was a skeleton. And it stood up. You talk about a scary vision. And then all of a sudden he watched as muscles began to cord their way around the muscles and the structure of the old bones. Amen. And the white bones, bleached bones, all of a sudden were covered with red muscle and sinew and ligaments as they all attached themselves together. And then skin covered everything and some eyeballs popped in the socket. And some teeth got in his mouth. And a tongue stuck out of his mouth. Amen. And there they stood. My, my, my. We're making some progress here. But it never happened without bones. You at least got to have bones. Now, you don't have to have flesh, but you got to have bones. You don't even have to have spirit at that point, but you got to have bones. If you got bones, God can work with it. If you got some structure, if you've got a foundation, God can work with it. And so the flesh came. And then he said, can these soldiers live? And he said, Lord, you know. And God said, prophesy to the winds. And all of a sudden, breath came into the bodies. And they sat up and became a mighty army. Praise the Lord. What are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying that bones have hope. And the word of the Lord that gets in bones and can give bones strength and structure and flesh and life and vitality and purpose. So then the bones begin to preach. So bones preach the word of the Lord. Now I'm gonna wrap it up here. Bones preach resurrection. You see, that's what Joseph was saying. He was preaching a resurrection. He said, now I'm here and I'm going to be here for a while. He said, but when you leave, I cannot go with you unless you take me. He said, but when we get ready to go, he said, don't you forget to take my bones. Now a long time passed. A long time. Almost 400 years passed. And it was time. I mean, so much was happening. All the plagues that happened. The death angel had passed over. Pharaoh called Moses in. He said, you get your bunch and you get out of here. And they were packed up. They had their suitcase ready. And their kids had their clothes on. Their shoes were on their feet. And they were getting ready to go. And all of a sudden, Moses said, "We got to take a little detour." What are you going to do, Moses? "Well, we got to get some bones." Amen. And so they went by where Joseph was buried. And they picked up that old coffin. And they said, "We got to, all these bones, we got to take these bones. On all the top of all this stuff we got, and we got to cart these bones all the way home." Oh yeah, we're not leaving these bones, not these bones. Yeah, we're leaving some bones, but we're not leaving these bones. These bones got promise. These bones have the word of the Lord. Amen. And these bones promise something special. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that it got wearisome as they wandered and carrying those bones. Amen. And they came to the Red Sea and those bones got excited. Amen. And when everybody else was doubting, those bones were saying, "Atabar, Lord, you shot them." And when Pharaoh came in and their bodies washed up on the shore, they were rejoicing bones. Hallelujah. Amen. When they came to the border of the city, of the country, and getting ready to go in, and the spies went over, they were rejoicing bones. Just about there. My. Canaan land is just in sight. But it wasn't good enough. Amen. You remember the doubt that came in. Israel was condemned to wander for 40 years. And the bones had to wander too. 40 years. 40 years. Brother Colton, the bones kept preaching. They kept saying, now don't get discouraged. We got a little detour here, but we're going over. God said we're going over there. So you just hang on. Now you let these people complain and bellyache if they want to, but we're going over. We're going to get there. So you just hang on. Don't give up. Don't leave me out here. Him and you got to carry me, but we are going to the other side because the Lord said of a surety. Abraham said we were going to come back. Jacob said we're going to come back. Joseph said, "I believe it, we're going to go back." Amen. You know what? Moses didn't get to go over the first time, but Joseph did. At least his bones did. Amen. So the Bible says I can only imagine how it must have been when finally they got to Jordan, flood stage. Amen. And the Lord says to the priest, He said, you get up there, and he said, "I want you to take that Ark of the Covenant, and I want you to step in the river." And when they did, the water split like the Red Sea. And he said, "Now y'all go on across here." And so I don't know who it was, but somebody was in charge of the bones. Somewhere behind the Ark of the Covenant, here come the bones. All the way from Egypt, here come the bones. Amen. And when they got over there, here's the interesting thing of the whole part of the whole thing. You see, Jacob had bought a plot of land in Shechem. Do you know where Joseph's problem started? In Shechem. He went to check on his brothers in Shechem. And do you know where he got buried? Where his trouble started. He made a full circle. It all started in Shechem, and it kind of stopped in Shechem. Amen. But all the 400 years, the bones kept saying, "Don't give up. Hang on. We're going to get out of here. God made a promise. God's going to keep it. We're going home." Now here's what I want you to understand about all this story. 400 years, 430 years, the Bible says. Now, what happened during 430 years? How many went into the country? 70 souls. How many came out of the country? We don't know. I do know this. There were at least 600,000 men. So if each man had a wife, at least one, back in those days, sometime they messed up. But if each man had one wife, that would be 1,200,000. And it wasn't unusual to have 12 kids like Jacob did. But even if somebody just had two, it would have been 2,400,000. That's a passel of folks. From 70 to more than 2 million people. That's pretty good growth. Now, 70 people couldn't settle a very big place, but 2 million can. By the time they got that all divided up, the whole country was covered with Israelites. Amen. And they were powerful enough, and they were numerous enough to inhabit. Sometimes God makes us promises we're not big enough to inhabit. That's why you don't always get it right away. There are some things you grow into. You see, you get it, you get all excited, God promised me this, and then it don't happen right away, and you get all this. Don't you get discouraged. You got to grow into that. That's you can't fit those shoes right away. You're going to have to do some growing. And God's going to put you through some situations. And you're going to go through some difficulties and some trials and some troubles and some tribulations. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be big enough to fill the shoes. You're going to be big enough to inhabit the promise that God made you. And so they came into the land and they possessed the land and they lived in the land. Oh, they had their troubles and they had their difficulties. And then came Jesus. Everybody say, then came Jesus. Woo. And then things really happened. You know what Jesus did that nobody else did? The Bible says that Jesus, he went places nobody else would go. You know why? Because it was promised to him. When Jesus came, he walked in all the promise. You know, sometimes we're like the Israelites. We don't inhabit everything God promised. We don't take possession of everything God promised. We get satisfied with less. And God wants us to have more. I want to challenge us tonight. If God said you can have it, go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not be satisfied with less. Let's determine we're going to have more. Seems like I read somewhere, Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. God doesn't want us to do less. God wants us to do more. He promised us. He said, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. What is that saying, Pastor? It says no matter how great Pentecost was and the first generation of Christians were, he said the latter house is going to be greater. It's time for us to believe more and pray more and do more and possess more. That's what God wants for His end time church. I don't believe that God matched an inferior church with the end time. I don't believe that God designed that when there's more people, almost 7 trillion people or billion people on the face of the earth. I don't think that when there's more people, there's more need, there's more sin, there's more trouble. The Bible said where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. When there's more need, there's more power of God, there's more glory for God. Amen. We need to get in all the promise here tonight. Amen. Don't you, let's not sit back and say, oh, that was wonderful what they did. Oh, but we can have more. We can have more. We can have more. Amen. Now it's great. Peter and Paul and James and John, all the apostles, those are great men, but they're not to be worshipped. And they're not to be put up on a pedestal somewhere. Amen. And what God did for them, He wants to do for us. Now, I'm not saying, we're not giving any glory to flesh here. Please understand that. This is not about preachers being glorified and doing wonderful things and getting all the glory. If you're a glory hound, get out now. If this is about you, get out now. Amen. Don't you get started in ministry if that's what it's all about for you. Amen. If it's all about you, you go to Hollywood or somewhere. Go to Nashville. Amen. But don't get started in ministry if it's got to be about you. This is all about Him. It's all about Him. We've already got enough showmanship. Yeah, we do. We got plenty of them. Amen. We got, I don't know what they call, Daystar, and TBN, and all the rest of them. You know, we got some glory hounds. I'm sorry. Did I say that? Well, I'm not sorry. Amen. You give the glory to God. You give the glory to God. Amen. And he's the one that does the healing. I love Brother Barnes' story. I've told you the story. But let me tell it again, just in case nobody heard. Amen. Brother Barnes, greatly used of God in the gifts and healings and miracles. And like many of his contemporaries, he got his tent together, and he was having great campaigns. And he had a sign painted, and he put it up, and oh, it was pretty. It said, Barnes Healing Campaign. And he stood there admiring, and God said, who's Barnes? And Brother Barnes said he took it down, and he never put it up. He understood something. This is not about Barnes. Somebody else may want to put their name on it, but he wanted the Lord's name on it. And when all the others, they may have been successful financially, and they have made some financial empires. Amen. And just because you're financially blessed doesn't necessarily mean it's God blessing you. Amen. But God blessed Brother Barnes with a great ministry. Amen. 92 years old, last time I heard him preach, he still had preaching in his bones. Hey, man. He's talking about going to the doctor's office and had to wait so long. He got to pray and the Lord just healed him and he just walked out whole. Amen. When the doctor ever got around to seeing him, he said, the Lord just healed me. I'm going to go home now. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we need more, not less, more. Jesus walked in all the promise. Now, that was a long detour to get back to where we started here, but I'm getting ready to wrap it up. Amen. Jesus came to the end. He was on the cross. He was hanging. Took his last breath. I like this. Let me read it to you here. We need to see this. I want you to get up on the screen here so we can. Everybody needs to see this last part here. This is awesome. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. It said, Jesus, when he had cried out again with a loud voice. Everybody say a loud voice. A loud voice. He wasn't wimpy. Yeah, these pictures that people paint of Jesus, I don't know where they got their model. But I don't think Jesus looked much like that. Amen. He was a man. He was rugged. He was tough looking. Amen. And after hanging on the cross in the sun, amen, the Bible said at the end, he still cried out with a loud voice, Father, it is finished. Into the hands I commend my spirit. And then the Bible said that he yielded up the ghost. Now here's where it gets interesting. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Isn't that amazing? That curtain that had kept God shut away from the world and kept Him hidden. Amen. Suddenly, that old curtain was rent from the top to the bottom as if God was saying, let me out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Amen. That means they tore apart. Boy, you talk about some power going on. When the rocks literally were torn in two and in pieces, and the earth began to shake and quake. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake, but it's an odd feeling. Hey, when you get an earthquake, there ain't no hiding place down here. Nothing's stable. Everything is shaking. Everything's moving. The buildings are moving. The trees are moving. The rocks are moving. Everything's moving. The sea is moving. The water's moving. The road's moving. I was driving down the road in Columbia. We were driving along and the car kind of had a little fit. And I thought, man, that was strange. And I thought, what's wrong with this steering? And when I got where I was going, they said, did you feel that earthquake? Well, I did. I just didn't know it. Amen. The whole road was shaking, and I was trying to hang on there. Amen. You see, that's what the earth was shaking and quaking and moving. And in the Bible, and then look at the next verse. Boy, this gets exciting right here. Listen to this. It said, then the graves were open. Man, it shook the top off of them. You know, if you've ever seen a picture of the tomb, you know, they roll these big stones in front of caves that are cut inside the mountain, and those stones rolled away. And all of a sudden, all these graves wide open. And you know what? You know what's in graves, right? Huh? You got it. Bone. Amen. There was some bones. They all got exposed here. Now listen carefully. Now I want you to get this next word. It says, and what? And many. Everybody say, many. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Woo! You talk about some exciting stuff. Do you know who was buried around there? Amen. Did you know that Abraham was buried there? And do you know that Isaac was buried there? And do you know that Jacob was buried there? And their wives were buried there? Woo! I'm not real sure just who went into the city, but I got a feeling old Abe got up and said, hey, I'm going to take me a stroll and see what's been going on for these last 1,400 years. And he walks in the city and said, oh, wow, look what the Lord has done. Amen. And Jacob and Isaac were there. But I'm using a little imagination. I don't know just who walked into the city. But the one I really would like to talk about tonight and wonder a little bit about, he was buried in Shechem. Shechem is a day's walk away from Jerusalem. But I wonder if about when that stone began to shake when the sun came up, hallelujah, if the stone fell off over in Shechem. And maybe old Joseph got up, hallelujah. He said, Bones, it's time to take a little stroll. Amen. And he walked a day's journey. And maybe, just maybe, before the sun went down, amen, the bones strolled into the city of Jerusalem. Amen. And was seen of many. Who are you? Well, youngster, my name is Joseph. And let me tell you a story. Hallelujah. These bones have taken quite a journey, and it took a long time to get here, but here I am. Amen. I don't know just who the righteous were, but I'm just saying it could have been. Wouldn't that have been exciting? If David got up and danced a little bit in Jerusalem. Woo! He said he was going to set my son on the throne. My, what a son, and my, what a throne. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, it was an exciting time. Bones, preach. That a message. Resurrection. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. And you and I, we got a promise. We're next. Amen. I don't know what happened to those people. It doesn't say. I don't know if they lived a while and died. I don't know if they walked around for 40 days. And when Jesus went up, they went up too. I don't know what happened to them. It doesn't say. But it does say that there were many. And they were seen of many. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, there's power in resurrection. When Jesus resurrected, he didn't get up by himself. Hallelujah. Amen. He caused a stir in the city. And the good news is he's coming back. Amen. This time, the first time, he's not coming back to the earth. He's just going to ride down on a cloud, and he's going to get close enough for Gabe to blow the trumpet. And he's going to turn around and say, okay, Gabe, you've been practicing that thing long enough. Amen. Amen. You hit a G for Jesus there. That's what the old timer said. He said, give me a G for Jesus. But I don't know what he's going to play, but he's going to hit a note. And it's going to wake up the dead. The Bible said, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it said, scare one another to death with these words. That's not what it said. He said, hey, he said, in comfort one another with these words. When I grew up, every time they preached the rapture, they tried to scare me to death. And they did a pretty good job. Every time they preached on the rapture, I came to the altar because I did not want to miss. I don't know if you ever saw one of them. They used to have the first evangelist. I forget his name. He was preaching the revival. And all of a sudden, he pulled out this newspaper and he started reading. Multitudes missing. And he started reading this newspaper. And I was like, it's already happened. It's too late. Amen. But I went just in case. And it worked. Amen. But let me tell you something. The rapture is an encouragement. The rapture is a promise to the saints of God. Amen. Now, if you're looking for bones, I've been to Jerusalem, and I've been to the tomb, and they ain't there. It's empty. It's empty. If you want to go find the bones of Jesus, you're not going to find them down here. They're gone. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our promise tonight, you see. Now bones preaching, and Joseph's bones preaching. He said, don't you leave these bones behind. Amen. But Jesus gave us a greater promise. He didn't leave us any bones. He left us his spirit. And the Bible said that the spirit that dwelt in Christ dwells also in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. So it's not the bones that are going to get us out of here. It's the Spirit that's going to get us out of here. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost tonight. There was a song years ago, came from Jamaica. We sang for a while. It said, the Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Amen. Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. What happens when you run a magnet over the right kind of metal? It attaches itself. It jumps up. Amen. It separates itself. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the rapture. Amen. That's why we need to get separated now. If you get separated from the world now, and you get the right spirit now, and you get the Holy Ghost now, and you get holiness now, and you separate from the world now, amen, you're going to get separated when the rapture takes place. Amen. That's why it's important, folks, that we separate now. Because I sure do want to be separated then. Let's stand together. Thank you so very much for all of your time and your attention here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Them bones preach.
Yes, sir.
Yes, they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Them bones, they preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go? Anybody ready? The Bible said that he is coming for those that are looking for His appearing and have made themselves ready and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Are we too busy to keep an eye on the eastern sky? Are we too busy to attune our ear for the sound of a trumpet and the shout of our Lord descending to call us away? Let's not get too busy. Let's not get too wrapped up. I don't want to miss it. Amen. I don't want to get all carried away with some other stuff. Jesus gave us a warning. He said that we were to beware of two things. He said that we were to beware of deception, and He said cares of this life. Don't be deceived, and don't get so wrapped up in the cares of life. Amen. The deceitfulness of the world and the cares of life. We've got to be careful about those two things. Amen. And you do that by keeping heaven in view. Keep heaven on your mind. Amen. Lately, I've got leaving on my mind. That's what you got to do right there. Amen. You just can't get too wrapped up in it. That's right. You just can't get too wrapped up in it. But you got to understand that, amen, we're building a house right now. Brother Wesley and Brother Monty, we're trying to get it finished. We got the basement dug. Amen, Brother Neil, and we got the walls up. Amen, some block walls. It's either going to be a basement or a swimming pool. Depends on how much it rains. Amen. And we're getting ready to put a top on it pretty soon. This week, we're going to get a top on it and get some walls up and get a roof over the top. Amen. But you know what? I don't care if that gets finished or not. Amen. If we're out there working and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds, I'm going to be gone. Antichrist can have it. I don't care. Amen. The beast and false prophet. I don't care who gets it after me, because I got a mansion waiting on the other side. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. Why should I care about a little old house? Amen. In God, good. Praise the Lord. I think it'd be good if we'd just gather around the front here for a little bit of praise tonight. Amen. Make sure our hearts are ready. Amen. Amen. Let's get everything in tune here tonight. If you're out of tune, get in tune. Amen. If you've got a bad attitude, let's get a right attitude. If your spirit's out of line, let's get it in line. Praise the Lord. Let's work on it just a little bit here tonight. Make sure everything's right. Jesus, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. And I want to make sure everything's right. Amen. I want to make sure that everything is right. Don't let me get a wrong spirit. Don't let me get a bad attitude. Amen. Don't let me get bitter. Don't let me get discouraged. Amen. Help me to hold my faith. Let me not lose my excitement. Don't let me lose my joy. Amen. I want to be excited about God. I want to be excited about living for God. Hallelujah. I want to be excited about the return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Search my heart, O God. Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Amen. I want to know tonight, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Praise the Lord. I want to be right with my brothers and my sisters tonight. I want to be right with my family. I want to be right with everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're getting ready. Amen. We're getting ready. We're going to be leaving here soon. Praise the name of Jesus. Anybody still believe there's going to be a rapture soon? Yeah. Anybody believe that He really is coming back? In the last days, He said, they'll come scoffers saying, where is the promise of His coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Amen. But be not deceived. Be not deceived. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Amen. The Bible said, but with the Lord, He said, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Amen. But God is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Not willing that people should perish, but that men would have opportunity for repentance. That's what He's doing right now. Amen. He's keeping the door open. Just hoping one more will make their way home. Thank you tonight, Jesus. You're wise and you're wonderful. And we appreciate you. Thank you for putting us in the bride of Christ tonight. Amen. Making us a part of this. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.